This is Your Own Best Company, a podcast for people who love to work alone. Hi there, everybody. This is Franklin Taggart, and this is Your Own Best Company, a podcast for people who love working alone. Solitude is just as important to us as revenue in our bottom line. And I am excited and delighted to welcome Kim Pratt to the show today. Kim works for the Alliance for Suicide Prevention of Larimer County here in Northern Colorado. And the things that we're going to be talking about certainly do, the services for this particular group are kind of Northern Colorado focused. But the things that Kim and I are going to be talking about are ones that a lot of entrepreneurs face, especially folks who are like me. We work alone. We prefer to work alone, but sometimes we can get a little bit isolated. So, Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here today.
Now, just for people's benefit, Kim has her master's in counseling and is a licensed professional counselor. She serves as the program director for the Alliance, and she spends her time coordinating chaos and uplifting voices and training the masses. She's trained over 50,000 individuals in suicide prevention. She spends her time with her family and stomping around in the mountains, eating candy, and you can routinely find her high-fiving herself.
That's a thing.
I love it. That's excellent. Well, Kim, talk to me a little bit about, I know that there has been a lot more talk in recent years, especially about mental health, about all of the contributing factors to increases in depression and suicide and related topics, a lot of trauma, things that are going on.
It's a lot, yeah.
Where do we even start with that?
Ooh, that's a great question. You know, up until 2018, the CDC reported that 90% of people who died from suicide had a diagnosable mental health issue. And then in 2018, they said, oh, that's not true at all. And the way we were collecting information is not fair or accurate. And what they found is that 54% of people who die from suicide have a diagnosable mental health issue. But the other half of people are just dealing with life stressors, with environmental mismatch, as we call it, right? It's just, I don't fit in with the people around me. I don't feel connected to the people around me. Life is hard. Work is hard. All these other challenges. And so when we're talking about these like increases in depression and substance use, you know, one of the things that we always tell people is like, start at home. What does that look like for you at home? And one of the silly things that we often say to people and encourage people to think about is this wonderful saying, live, laugh, love, right? Like everybody knows, most people roll their eyes at it, but my hope is that people hear this, that they can't go into a TJ Maxx without like having a mental health check-in, right?
Yeah.
This idea that live is our ability to go to work, to go to school, to feed ourselves, to shower ourselves, to do those daily activities. Laugh is a person's ability to engage satisfying activities, and love is a person's ability to engage in satisfying relationships. And we find that if you're struggling with any one of those things or all of those things, maybe it's definitely time to reach out. And so taking a look inward is really the best place for us to start this conversation.
Okay. Give me an example of what that would look like for someone.
Yeah. So for somebody who might be struggling, you know, this could be just like that constant exhaustion or that constant stress, that constant anxiety that often people feel when they're thinking about like their daily life activities. And when oftentimes when people are feeling anxious or depressed, which are the two most common mental health issues that people face that could be situational or long-term is like when we're having these feelings, it's where is it coming from? Like, what is the root of that cause? You know, when we talk about depression, we think about thinking about the past, people being stuck in the past, having this sadness of things that have happened. Whereas anxiety is usually fear about the future, what will happen, right? So what that looks like on a day-to-day basis is it could be difficulty concentrating or making decisions. It could be changes in sleep habits, changes in eating habits, like basic things that we need to care for ourselves. Those basic necessities are the very first place that I'm going to start. Are you eating and sleeping okay?
Yeah.
And then beyond that, what do your relationships look like? Are you having challenge with your significant other, with your friends? Do you feel connected in ways that make you, that bring you joy? You know, oftentimes when we're feeling this stress, we do turn inward and we kind of like go into our coping skills, which some are healthy and some are not as healthy, right? That isolation that so many of us do where we kind of just retreat into ourselves. I think that that's a really common experience that a lot of people have as they start to step into this really mentally unwell space, because mental wellness is the spectrum. Like we all, right? You, me, every human being lives somewhere in between, like I am the best version of myself and the worst version. And that can like cycle throughout a day or a week or a year, certainly throughout the year. And so it's just that constant, how am I doing today? Check
that,
in.
For me, that can cycle through in a grocery store visit.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm like going to the dentist in a few hours. And I'm like, all that's going to happen in it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I just pulled into the parking lot. I'm feeling pretty good. Oh no, yeah. Now I'm in line. I'm not feeling so great. But anyhow, I think that's an interesting idea to think about, that, you know, we're all experiencing some spectrum of emotion, some aspect of that spectrum, right?
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that's really interesting to me is anxiety and depression have been common in my life. I can't say that I've lived without them, for sure.
Right.
But one of the things that I've noticed is that there is a cyclical kind of nature to them. Although I have a family history of clinical depression, so I keep a real close eye on it.
Yeah.
And every now and then I'll just have a funk that just won't lift, right?
Yes.
Now, one of the things that I've learned for myself is that I've learned how to see early warning signs.
Yeah.
And the early warning signs for me very often are things like you mentioned, the lack of sleep or a change in appetite or just a change in energy overall. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I've learned is that if I wait to reach out, that very often I could have actually benefited more easily and probably more thoroughly had I reached out earlier in that recognition.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about some of those early warning signs.
Yeah.
We've mentioned appetite, we've mentioned sleep. What are some others?
So this could be, again, the reason I love live, laugh, love is because it's so basic and everybody remembers it, but those early warning signs could be loss of interest in activities, right? I stopped doing the things that I do. I'm falling out of my routines. It could also be more irritability, anger, aggression, and irritability for unexplained reasons is one of the most common warning signs, like early warning signs, right? Now, we're all allowed to be rage monsters. We're all allowed to have some opinions about things, right? But it's when those come unprovoked that you just wake up and you're like, I can't even with anybody and the day hasn't even started. Those are those early warning signs where you don't feel like yourself. You know, I always say this, if you Googled, what are the warning signs of suicide? You're going to get 10 things, and it's the most common 10 things, and they're true all across the world. And yet what they don't consider is like human nature, right? So one of the common warning signs is people thinking about like buying a gun or stockpiling pills or things like that. Now, for me, I'm not a gun owner. If I buy a gun, people need to ask questions. My brother-in-law, he's a sergeant in the police department, right? He collects guns. So when he gets a gun, we all give him a high five, right? So we have to like really consider what's my baseline? And
about him when he gives guns away.
Right? Yes, exactly. You know, is what's normal for me. And that's so hard to pinpoint because we're all our own person. And one of the things that I just want to lovingly remind everybody is, it's okay for you to be human. It's okay. It's normal for us to go through these like cyclical experiences of I'm having a hard time and I'm having a hard time getting myself out of it. You know, we joke in our office sometimes. We go, well, have you tried taking a bath? Like, have you tried lighting a candle, right? Because there's these like kitschy self-care things, right? Go for a walk, take a bath. And you're like, that's not helpful. That's not, I don't feel any better. And so it's like, what works for you? What do you need? What brings you peace and calm and joy? And when we stop doing those things, that's a really big early warning sign.
Very good. That's a great list to start with. And some of those things are things that we wouldn't recognize
right.
as a warning sign, right? It's just something that would be maybe a little bit odd or something that's just kind of a nuisance or some, you know.
Yeah. And also just like the like loss of priority, right? Like what, you know, for me, if I'm not sitting in front of my fireplace, which is like something, cause I'm wrapped up in a blanket right now. Right. Yeah. If I'm not like taking 15 minutes to do that, it throws my day off. And I'm like, why am I not doing that? And I'm like, well, I'm too busy for it. Right. And it's that, where are my priorities and what are they landing? And have I forgotten about myself?
Yeah. So Kim, there are a couple of things that I wonder about as you're talking about these things. And the thing that I think is really striking me is that we're talking about the human condition.
Yes.
And these things are not out of the ordinary for most people that I know. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I could probably name more people that I know that struggle with these kinds of things than people that I don't.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me that they're so common, mm-hmm. and yet we try to hide them. We try to hide the fact that we're feeling anxious. We try to hide the fact that we're feeling depressed. We put on appearances so that, you know, people will just leave us the hell alone.
Yes.
And, you know, and kind of give us our space and do whatever we need to do. But talk to me a little bit about why is it that people feel that level of shame around these things?
You know, we have been taught to hide our humanness. We have been taught that vulnerability is a weakness. And so often when people do show up authentically and vulnerably, they get hurt. And so they don't want to continue to do that. And it becomes really difficult to do that. And so as we're talking about like what this is like and why there's shame around it, it's because we don't do it. It's because we don't do it. And then it like makes it worse. It makes it more taboo. The more, you know, we're only as sick as our secrets. Like we tend to hide inward because we're afraid of what that looks like. And I've got to say, so I've been in this work for about 10 years now, and I talk about maybe too much to a fault, right? Like I'm just open about it because what I have found in my life is that the more open I am about it, the more open everybody else is. It gives the people in my life permission to be human. And that is so relieving, but that is not the way the world operates. That is not the way that we see things, especially in our Western culture of this, like, we have to accomplish, you know, we're hustling for our worth. And I just wish I'm like, no, you're all worthy already. But we've lost sight of that, I believe. And I think that's, you know, there's a lot of stigma talking about it. And I think the only way to break that is to start talking about it.
Yeah. I found that there are a very small handful of people in my life that I feel that I can be 100% honest about that with.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're the first ones that I turn to and I'll just say, you know, I'm going through a time right now that I just like the end of last year, I went through probably about a month of some of the deepest depression that I've had in a while.
Yeah.
And I recognized it early on. And I just said, you know, I went to my core group and I said, listen, I'm going through some depression right now. I don't know what it's about. I don't want you to try and fix it, but I just want you to know that it's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And just having them be aware of that gave me some touch points and some people to check in with as I was going so that I didn't feel like that I was just on this island by myself.
I love that you did that. I think it's so beautiful. And you know, so often people are like, well, suicide prevention is this, like you have to be a therapist, or like, I can't touch that, or this is very scary. And I, at my core, believe that suicide prevention is about being a human and witnessing another person's pain without minimizing their capabilities, right? We're so afraid that if you know that I'm an anxious, bumbling mess, that if I make a mistake, then I'm not good at my job, at my passion, at my life. And so we hide that, when in reality, one of the greatest gifts we can be to people is just to witness, to just say, yeah, I see you. Yeah, life is hard. You know what? Yeah, let's do it together. Let's sit on the couch together. Let's do nothing to, like, there's no, you just like you said, it doesn't have to fix. In fact, people who are experiencing that type of pain or discomfort or, you know, dysregulation, very rarely can you fix it for them. But again, what you can do is walk alongside them with that. And that is suicide prevention. And that is like, that's just like compassion, I think. I think that's
Yeah.
maybe a definition.
Compassion's a big part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, certainly.
The thing that I think for myself that I know is that I'm an isolator and I have to work really hard not to isolate. This is a program about people who love working alone. Well, part of my loving working alone, is a function of I have a pretty high sensitivity to stimulus. And so being out in the world affects me in ways that are just like overwhelming. And I pick up on emotions and I pick up on, I don't know, just weird vibrations and energy and stuff like that. And so this working alone is a way of saying, okay, I still need to make a contribution, still want to make a contribution. But one of the terms of that is that I kind of need to do that behind a closed door.
Understood, right?
So as a person who also fights depression and anxiety, which are also kind of tied into the sensitivity as well, I think sometimes the depression is just a way to shut off the sensitivity for a while so that I can cope, right?
You know, I mean, yeah, that certainly makes sense. And like, to carry emotion, to feel the emotion, to navigate that is a real challenge. And that there is protection in isolation, right? And
Yeah.
it's, but what does that isolation look like? Like, is it touch points where you can curate your support? You get to, again, we're all so different. So what works for me is certainly not going to work for somebody else. You know,
Yeah.
you might have that difference. And that doesn't mean that there aren't tools and resources out there for folks who feel more that way. You know, I love 988. It's the National Suicide Hotline. And this number, well, I always say this wrong, and I need to fix it because it's so important. It's the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. So you don't have to be suicidal to call it. You can just be having a hard day, you know. And we, this is on stickers and water bottles, it's on all of our stuff, but we don't just promote it. Our staff has used it, and we've used it for our personal lives. I use it for my personal life. You know, I'm a person who has people very, very close to me who have chronic suicide ideation. And I'm the suicide lady, right? Like, I'm supposed to know what to do. I should be able to fix it. Like, I of all the people in the world, like, I'm the one who should be able to take care of it. And the truth is, I can't fix that for them. And sometimes I feel like I can't go to my family or my friends or my coworkers one more time to be like, I can't fix it. And I feel scared and alone. And in those moments, I have called 988. I have called it, I don't know, 5 times in the last year. And I love it because I'll call and I'll say, I'm not suicidal, but man, I need to cry. I need to be heard. And just to know, is there something about having a stranger, right? I'm like, let me just word vomit all over you. Let me tell you all of my problems. And then you give me some validation and tell me, hey, you're doing good, girl. How can I help you? Or just listen. Nobody's trying to fix me.
Yeah.
And that is just a beautiful resource. And if you don't want to talk, you can text. And we have, I'm like, I believe in this lifeline. And I wish that everybody had it. In fact, I'll share a statistic with you and then I'll stop, you know, I'll hop off my soapbox. But
Okay.
if you just put this number in your phone, which now, thank goodness, it's shortened. They shortened it in July of last year. But if you just put 988 in your cell phone, you're 60% more likely to use it if you're in a crisis. And if you call or text it when you're not in crisis to just test it out, which is totally acceptable, you just call or text and you're like, I'm just testing this out to see what happens. You're 85% more likely to use it if you're in a crisis because you know what to expect and you've experienced it. And what a great tool for people who are like cautious about wanting to step out into the you know, the populated places.
And there's no cost.
Zero cost. It's free 24/7. It's always available anywhere in the entire country.
And you can remain anonymous.
Absolutely. In fact, you can tell, you know, there's a big fear when they changed over to 988 and it became more popular, there was this big fear that people were going to get like geolocated and they were going to come to their home and put them in a car and take them to a hospital. We don't have the funding for that. You know, that's like some FBI level funding. And unfortunately, we don't care about mental health that much in this country to put that much funding into it. That will not happen. In fact, of all of the calls that go to 988, less than 2% are referred to the police. 1% of those are involuntary referred because people are attempting while they're on the phone. And the other 1% is people who voluntarily ask for police to come to their home. And so it's very safe. You don't have to share your name. You don't have to share your address. You don't have to share anything that you don't want to share.
Wow, that's great. So 988 is the number everybody needs to program into their phone and have it available. And it's not just for people who might be having suicidal thoughts or ideation, but anyone who's going through a crisis of any kind can use the service.
Absolutely. Or if you're worried about somebody, maybe you like love somebody and you're worried about them and you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't have the resources. I don't have the skills, or I just need to cry about my concern for them. You can call for that too.
Well, I know there are a couple of things that I've been aware of for the last little while that I wanted to ask you about, Kim. And one of them is that as much as we might want to reach out for professional help, I know that I work with a lot of people who are therapists and counselors. And one of the things that happened during the COVID pandemic was that their schedules got filled up with people.
Yes, they did.
And they stopped seeing new patients.
Yes.
So the thing that I would ask is that, is there a way that people can work around that, you know, calling after calling after calling a therapist and a counselor and finding out that their list is full and they're not taking any new clients? Is there a referral source that you can point people to that will help them pass that?
I wish I had a magic wand and I wish I could be like, yep, here's the number, here's the line, this is where you go. Now in Northern Colorado, we do have the health district, which serves all of Larimer County. And what they have is they have two programs, one for youth and one for adults. And you can call the health district and you just say, I need help finding a therapist. And what the health district has is they have an updated list of all of the therapists who are actively taking clients. And they have a list of like specialties. So if you're like, I'm a male and I'm looking for a female therapist who's, you know, my brain is like, I don't know, whatever you want, whatever it is that you're looking for, your specifications. I want somebody who's faith-based. I want a person of color. I want somebody who uses these pronouns. I want whatever it is. The health district is a place that's their primary goal is to help people get connected to care in real time. And while you're waiting, they can offer temporary services if you do have to get put on a wait list.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I would remind people is 988 is a place you can call every day. You can call that every day while you're waiting, because the ugly truth is there's a big wait list for therapists. There are some online platforms where you can get help more quickly, like betterhelp.com or Sondermind. And that works for some people, but some people really prefer an in-person, you know, setting. And so the truth is it's hard right now. And the thing that I would suggest so strongly is get on the wait list, get on multiple wait lists. And then when it is your turn, even if you're feeling better, go anyway, because so often people make an appointment, but it's, 2 weeks out, 6 weeks out, and then that appointment comes and they're like, oh, my crisis is over, I feel better. But without doing the work, the reason you went into crisis will likely repeat if you haven't worked through that already. And so just get on the list and go. Your friend, if you're nervous, that's okay too.
And go ahead and establish the relationship, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. And the other thing that I wanted to ask you is that there are certainly, especially for people who have gone through it and have, sought help before and things like that. They kind of understand the pattern. They understand the kind of support that they need, and they can do some self-help in those situations. But one of the things that I think is really important for people to understand is when is it appropriate to call a professional?
Oh, live, laugh, love. We're gonna keep coming back
Okay,
to
we're coming
it,
back to it
right?
again.
So it's this idea, if you're having difficulty living, doing daily activities, laughing, doing things you enjoy, or loving, enjoying satisfying relationships, and that's lasting for at least 2 weeks or longer, it's time to reach out for help. Now, you don't have to wait 2 weeks. If the intensity, the frequency of it is like big, go now. But some people are like, oh, I can't tell when to go. Live, laugh, love. Are you having difficulty doing these things for at least 2 weeks or longer? It's time to reach out for some help. And one place that people can go, so in North, well, actually, across the state of Colorado, we have 14 of these crisis centers. But in Larimer County, Colorado, Weld County, Boulder County, there's at least one crisis center, and it is open. So in Larimer County, Colorado, Fort Collins, Loveland, Red Feather area, from 8 a.m. till midnight, you can walk in at 1217 Riverside Avenue. And you can say, I need to talk to a therapist right now. And they're going to go, yeah, cool, take a seat. And that is free. It's always free to use the crisis services that are available. And these were created in 2014. And, half of our population still doesn't know that they exist. So the more we can spread the word, if you're like, I need somebody today, you can call for that. And if you don't have transportation, if you can't get there, they have a mobile crisis response team that will come to your home and they'll sit with you and say, what do you need and how do we resource you? And they have people who will follow up and help you get appointments and med management. So there's this beautiful resource that's available immediately for anybody in the state of Colorado.
Okay. As a last resort, what about a hospital emergency room?
So the hospitals, again, you can certainly go to an emergency department. They have behavioral health units. They have therapists on call ready to accept those folks. And I would always suggest start with a crisis center first, because those crisis centers were built for a mental health crisis and the emergency departments are built for a physical health crisis. So you might get pushed back and you might have to wait hours, right? If you're stable, versus you walk into the crisis center and you're going to be able to see a therapist within 20 to 30 minutes max is the longest wait time I've heard.
Wow, okay. So a few minutes ago you mentioned some online things like BetterHelp, but there was one other one that you mentioned.
Sondermind.
Say it again.
Sondermind, Sondermer. I have Invisalign.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
talk yet. So that's another one. And I can't, there's another talk therapy, I believe, is another online tool that people can use.
Okay. And I know that Psychology Today has a therapy referral service that's nationwide at this point. So you can sign into Psychology Today as well.
So BetterHelp and Sondermind and talk therapy are where you can go and get like actual therapy, like right there on that platform. Whereas Open Path Collective and psychologytoday.com, those are therapist finders. And so what you get to do, I tell people it's like ordering pizza meets online dating. So you get to like custom make your therapist. Like, I want this and this and this and this. And then you get like their profiles with their face and like, I like to do therapy walking through the dog park with a beer, you know, like, and you get to pick your therapist, which is wonderful because 60% of the healing relationship comes from, do I like and trust this person? 60% is, can I trust you? And when you get to custom make your therapist, it certainly increases the likelihood that you will stick with therapy. Now, the quick caveat to this is, one, not all the therapists keep their profiles updated. So you might find one that you really like and they aren't accepting new clients or they've got a really long wait list. And so just being mindful of that as you go on, it does take some time. It takes a few weeks to really find the right therapist and get on the right thing. And so just remembering to be patient and gentle with yourself as you're going through that process.
Another a couple of questions that I have, Kim. One of them is, very often one person's crisis triggers other people who are close to them into crises of their own. And at that point, you're talking about not just one person in a family that really could use help, but more than one person in the family can use help. What would you suggest in a situation like that? Like, let's say that I'm going through a depressed phase and that triggers my family member's anxiety. And they get really upset about my depression and their inability to do something about it. What do you suggest in situations like that?
I always, whenever somebody comes to me and says, I'm really worried about this person and it's really impacting me, my first question isn't, what does that person need? My first question is, what do you need? Right? And so sometimes when we're experiencing our own crisis, to say, I'm having a really hard time and I need you to know about it. And I know this is hard for you. So here's this resource for you too. It's like reminding people that we all have needs and I am allowed to have feelings about your feelings. And if that feels too big for me, then it's my job to seek out support. So NAMI, NAMI, they're an organization that has support groups for the people who are supporting people with mental health issues because it does impact us. When the people that we love are hurting, it impacts us. It's something that I've experienced in my life. Again, I said, oh, I have family members who are chronically suicidal, and I have to seek support for myself. And I also have to remember, and I say this with nothing but love, it is my responsibility to manage my emotions. So if I'm having a hard time with my person's depression or suicidality, that's not their fault. That's my fault. And that's a hard truth sometimes because we want to point the finger because that it's easier when it's not me. But when it's me, it's my job to do my work and to seek my support. And so I often encourage people. One of the things that we do at our organization is we often ask each other, do you have capacity before we jump into a conversation? So for people who might have depression, who might be experiencing anxiety or like, you know, lack of self-worth, if I'm going to seek out support from my people, but I know that that can be hard for them, I'm always going to start with, do you have capacity for a heavy conversation? And I will respect that boundary if they go, you know, I don't today. And I go, heard, no big deal. I can always call 988. And I know I keep saying that, but it's because I've used it and it works for me.
Wow, there are so many things that we could talk about here. And I'm starting to notice that we're coming toward the end of our time. There are a couple of things that I want to encourage people who are solopreneurs, especially if you're a solopreneur, freelancer, or another person who spends most of their working hours by themselves. One of them is that I think that, Kim has given us some great resources to remind ourselves of. The 988 one is a pot of gold as far as I'm concerned.
Same.
But the other thing that I think I would encourage you to do, and I think Kim might have some suggestions in this area, and that is to be kind of strategic thinking in terms of your own mental health. And I can give you some examples for myself of ways that I have created some buffers for myself. And one of them is that I have scheduled every week three different phone calls at different parts of the week, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, where I'm meeting with people who are supportive. Now,
Sorry, I'm like, yeah, I get
but one of them is a book group.
it.
One of them is a group of people that we work on projects together. And then the other group is a professional group where we're all kind of peers in terms of the work that we do. But the thing that's really kind of cool is that each one of those opportunities kind of covers a different part of my life and gives me a connection in that spot. Now, the thing that we talked about earlier was the tendency for people when they're feeling anxious or depressed to either isolate or to, cling or to get really needy. And those behaviors tend to be problematic. And the one
We're
thing
very good at them.
that, yeah, right? Well, the one thing that we need is real connection with people. And we have to build that in, especially if we're working alone. So, Kim, one of the things that I would ask you is like, what are some ways that you would suggest for people to build connection into their lives, especially if they're at risk of isolation like we are?
I love this question because human connection is the number one protective factor for any kind of mental unwellness, is if I have at least one person I'm connected to. And so, there are so many opportunities. There are places like Meetup or Facebook, a list and then Facebook, take it and leave it, right? But there are groups on there. There's opportunity where you can seek out. And I love this. One of the, I think, beautiful things about, I even hate saying the sentence COVID, is that we have learned to connect online. We've done that in a much better way. And there are so many opportunities. And for people who are like maybe nervous to join a group or participate in something, one of the things that I've seen with like online platforms is you can kind of like tiptoe in, right? Like you can test the waters where you can show up with your screen off and just listen and see if that's your group. But seeking those out, a simple Google search of where do I, are there hikers, hiking groups, these are all, the things that I'm thinking of. Like there's knitting groups. There's so, what I know working in the social services in Northern Colorado is every group is doing something for somebody. And there it is out there, and it does take a little bit of like Google searching time, but it's there. And if you're a person who's like, I don't have capacity to do that, the health district is a great start. Hey, I'm seeking therapy, but I'm also seeking some like connection and support groups. Now, support groups aren't necessarily mental health groups, right? We have like a fly fishing group for veterans that they just like sign up, and there are those resources through the health district. 211, which is United Way, you can call 211 and say, hey, what kind of activities do you guys know about? We're looking for this. And they're going to go, great, here's your list of resources, and places that you can start to build those connections.
Very good. Well, it's been a great conversation, Kim, and I appreciate you bringing your knowledge and your wisdom here. Let's again remind people that if they need someone to talk to immediately, 988 is available 24 hours a day.
7 days a week, call or text.
Very good. And if you're in Larimer County, or in Northern Colorado, what resources do we need to link people up with here?
So definitely, again, the health district, and it's just Health District of Larimer County. Also, the Colorado Crisis Center is through Summit Stone, and that's at 1217 Riverside Avenue in Fort Collins. The phone number is 970-494-4200, and that's available again 24/7. The walk-in center is open 8 a.m. till midnight, and then they have a mobile response team between midnight and 8 a.m. if it's needed. And then us, we're the Alliance for Suicide Prevention. You can just Google suicideprevent.org, and that will take you to us. And if you're like, I don't know where to start, but I heard this podcast, maybe Kim can help me, I would love to help you. Send me an email, where all of our contact information is there, and we would love to help people get connected.
Excellent, Kim. This has been a great conversation. And I just appreciate so much you spending your time with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to Your Own Best Company. If you enjoyed the show, would you do me a favor and subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast host? If you really love it, leave me a review or share it with your circles. If you feel like your career is reaching a dead end, or you're feeling a deep sense of dissatisfaction in your work right now, I help people discover their gifts and then find or create new opportunities that are the best fit for their talent, experience, and lifestyle. Email me at coaching@franklintaggart.com for more information. I also help people start, finish, and launch creative projects, and I offer an ongoing marketing mastermind for solopreneurs and freelancers. More information on these programs and services can be found at franklintaggart.com. Thanks again for spending this time with me.